Have you got a question? Want the answer? It's right here and right now. Here's more of the Mike Buck Show on AM 690 and FM 94.3. The Answer.
Okay, so what's the deal? I can tell you one thing, you are what you eat. And it costs more money than ever to go out and feed your face. Now, you would think, and I thought this right up until I got some really hot off-the-press information for you. It's going to change your mind about food and going out and eating and all that stuff. You know, there's this group at Wompley, and we've been talking to them from time to time, and mainly about restaurants. You know that we are what we eat and when we eat. And I would have thought you have to know somebody to be able to get a table on Valentine's Day. Well, instead of one of the top couple things, it's way down the list. I couldn't believe it. As a matter of fact, I'm even going to challenge some of this because you know me. Inquiring minds want to know. But I can tell you one thing. After having the Sounds of Aloha Chorus in the studio yesterday doing their serenades, we're going to try to play that again for you. That's huge. And flowers, huge. And get out of jail cards with flowers and cards, huge. But what about Valentine's dinner? Not as huge as you'd think. That's why we got the guru. He is Brad Plotho and joins us from Wompley to talk about this. I am absolutely amazed at some of these numbers. Hey, good morning. Brad, how are you doing?
Good. How are you? Good morning.
We're going to have to give you your own parking stall. I mean, you're becoming a regular guest on my show.
Hey, we got 6 inches of snow here where I'm at, so I'll take it.
Oh, boy, really, huh? We had snow yesterday on the island of Maui at Mount Haleakala, and that was, like, really, really strange for us. But it's about global warming, right? How cold is it today?
Oh, it's low 40s, so we're okay today. We're warming up.
Well, yeah, you're perfect. Hey, things get in the low 40s here. People leaving town. I was amazed. I got some statistics from Chaz that said that you'd be available to talk to us about Valentine's Day. Is everybody else as surprised as I am to find out that Valentine's Day is not on the top 3 or 4 dinner nights of the year?
We were surprised by that. So we go into all these analyses with a hypothesis, and we assume Valentine's Day, like you, is one of the top days to run a restaurant because you're packed. And one of the things that I think is important to understand about this analysis, so we are looking at the high 30,000-foot level of restaurant sales. Mm-hmm. So if you pull up and say, okay, we're looking at all full-service restaurants across all the different categories, you have high-end restaurants, you have some that sort of maybe mid-tier restaurants across lots of different kinds of categories in terms of, you know, the type of fare.
Sure.
When you look at it from that viewpoint, you see that Valentine's Day is actually maybe in the sort of middle of the pack in terms of all the days of the year. The way that we look at this is we track transactions mm-hmm. at 42,000 restaurants across the country. So it's a big sample size. We look at every single day of the year. We average the revenue for the restaurants that we're analyzing. And then we rank every single day, 1 through 365. And then you can see not only how they rate out, but what's actually going on. Is it because the ticket size is up or down? Is the number of transactions up or down? So, you know, that comes down to foot traffic or how much people are spending. And so when you weigh all those factors in, we can get a pretty good idea of how patrons are voting with their wallets on certain days. And that's definitely what we're looking at with Valentine's Day, which is sort of a middle of the pack day.
You know, I'm really surprised. I can tell you that I would agree that we know we've had our singing Valentine's guys in yesterday, the quartets that go out and sing for the ladies, and I mean it's just beautiful stuff. But it's budget stuff, right? $60 to do that. You know, you're gonna get a dozen roses. That's another $30 to $50, depending on where you buy them. All that kind of stuff, and maybe that decides what level of restaurant you go to.
Yeah, and let me give you a couple of numbers so we can unpack this a little bit and understand maybe why these findings are the way they are. So nationally, Valentine's Day is the 120th best day of the year, and that's because it's not a bad day, but you know, revenue is up about 13%, transactions are pretty flat, and then the average purchase price in a restaurant is about $30.87, which is 10% up from the average. In Hawaii, pretty similar, except the day is the 85th best day of the year. And we see a 15% increase in sales. So the average restaurant, these are local independent restaurants, not like, you know, Outback Steakhouse, et cetera.
Sure.
$1,700 on average on Valentine's Day, about 45 visitors. And then the transactions, or the ticket size, excuse me, is about $36.50, which is an 8% increase. And so there's a lot going on there. One of the things that we see is, while some white tablecloth restaurants, high-end restaurants, yeah, are going to really do well, you have a washout effect with a whole bunch of other kinds of restaurants that are going to have a really poor day.
I find that amazing. Maybe you can explain also, Brad, where this info comes from. Obviously, tell us a little bit more about Wamply. And what I'm getting at specifically is that how willing these restaurants are to give you the information you need to do your studies and come up with your results.
Yeah, great question. So we are a small business software company. We serve about 150,000 small businesses across the country, including thousands in Hawaii. And what we do is we partner with credit card processors and financial institutions to take the transaction data that the businesses already should have access to, but really don't use very much, and we power the software with that transaction data. Wow. And we anonymize that, we aggregate it. And what it allows us to do is, beyond our 150,000 customers, we actually get that transaction data for millions of businesses, so we can create aggregated, anonymized comparisons. So, you know, businesses using Wamply could see how their revenue trends stack up against similar restaurants or similar retail businesses nearby, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I remember, when we were trying to learn a little bit about you, that today's technology is what even makes a company like yours being able to exist, but more importantly, what, you know, who's the end user? And I'm guessing that everybody's an entrepreneur. Everybody can, you know, you make great beans, let's open a restaurant. You better not count on a big Valentine's Day, because you don't want to end up with $300 worth of extra food you got to throw away.
Yeah, we consistently see that some of our assumptions are wrong. Like we talked about hurricane analysis last year.
Yeah,
we thought, you know, we hear things like FEMA talking about 40% of businesses, small businesses in a hurricane zone shut down and never open up. Well, that doesn't bear out in the transaction data. And this is actual, you know, at the point of processing. So we know that these transactions are not only occurring at the point of sale, but they're being processed. So we find that on average, while some businesses are absolutely ended by a hurricane, for example, mm-hmm, on average, most businesses in even the most acutely affected hurricane zones bounce right back in 10 days.
Yeah. You know what?
So, yeah, there's all these really interesting things that we find.
Here's one that I think is incredible, because of the way the technology is changing at the speed of light, we're almost, you know, probably only a year or so away from having our phone do everything. So right now, obviously, if you can trace through the credit card companies and everything, all of these numbers, which almost everybody pays by credit card, that's going to change, isn't it? It's going to pretty soon be paperless and maybe even credit cardless.
Yeah, the way that businesses accept payment will certainly change. Obviously, you know, small businesses have been the slowest to adopt to just card payment.
Sure.
A lot of them were cash businesses in the past. Now we've seen that there is a saturation with small businesses accepting cards. But now, yeah, you've got people who are paying with mobile payments. You have people who are paying with alternative currencies, you know, cryptocurrencies in some cases. That's a little more new, but
yeah,
there's certainly movement there. So the main theme I think that you're getting to is small businesses in particular have to be aware of the rapidly increasing rate of change and technology-driven change and be able to adapt to that. And that's kind of why we exist, and that's why we illuminate some of these trends that we see with some of this data.
You know, this may be a little bit off track, but, you know, growing up in the retail business like I did, I know that the last thing we wanted to take was a credit card because it cost money. You know, those were in the good old cash days. But when you stop taking personal checks because so many of them bounce, now you're doing this. But it seems to me that the actual charge, the transaction charge by the vendors, whether it be credit card or a device or an app, is lower now. So that's why little restaurants can take a credit card, because they don't care. It's only a couple percent.
Yep, that's certainly the case. The economics are getting better and more favorable to the merchant. But also, you know, there's an opportunity cost that I think a lot of people have recognized, which is, you know, if you don't accept certain types of payments, you actually may miss out on entire swaths of customers.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't carry cash, right? I only carry around cards. So you'd miss out on me being a customer, for example. I'm sure lots of other people could say the same thing.
I would agree 100%. The other thing is that, I think this is really important, like my wife's a realtor, and she has like an app on her phone. So if she wants a cup of Starbucks on the way to a show, and she just drives through them, and out you go. I think that also paints some of us into a spending frenzy that we don't even know how much we're spending, and pretty soon we got debt. So I know that affects people going out to eat too, doesn't it?
It does. And I think one of the things that you're getting at here, which we see as a trend, is that There are lots of ways that small businesses in particular need to adapt to in order to engage their customers that large companies have figured out. So Starbucks knows exactly how to drive loyalty. That's why they've been able to build a global business. Small businesses operate on a local level, and they're really kind of focused on providing a great customer experience. But there are some subtle things, like, you know, if you don't have an online presence, even if you're a physical brick-and-mortar business, people probably won't find your business.
Amazing.
They're not driving around, right?
Yep.
So there are these digital aspects of running even a brick-and-mortar business now that we're trying to help small businesses account for. And one of those things, like you said, is how do you drive loyalty? Well, it starts with really understanding who the customer is. We also find, you know, we have, for example, in our software, we have a customer directory that we populate for the business owner based on the credit card transactions. And
wow.
We find they're always surprised by, oh, wow, I didn't realize that, you know, there's these 10 customers that are my most loyal customers that I don't even know them. I don't even know these first names of these people, right?
Amazing, yeah.
And so, yeah, you find all these interesting things when you actually dig into the numbers.
Well, you know, the other side of it is that sometimes it's really cold and impersonal the way we pay our bills. And in other words, the manager's not going to come running out because everybody's using a credit card. Before it used to be somebody said, hey, I just got a $20 tip from that guy, you know, because everybody was cash. So the manager would come flying out to shake the hand of the guy that had the bundle of money. Now it's just another number. It's just another credit card transaction.
Yeah, you can get much sharper with much less effort. Think about how much effort goes into that experience that you just described. You know, it's a very manual process.
Yeah.
You sort of have to keep track of who that person is, remember them when they come in. The good news is that, like, a lot of that can be sort of streamlined with technology now, so you actually can know, hey, someone comes in, this customer is a loyal customer, we should take care of them. After they leave, we should maybe send them an offer or something like that. So it does make things easier on the business owner who doesn't have to do everything themselves. Technology can take some of that burden away from them.
Yeah, and Brad, I'm glad you brought that up. Brad Plofo is with Womply. He's our Womply guy, talking about really Valentine's meetings. But we just came up with something you should know about and that all of our clients are figuring out. We've got this new thing called Salem Surround. And our company has realized the importance of being able to help our clients on a number of different platforms. And what you're saying is the same thing. I don't care about bricks and mortar. If you don't have a good online presence and you're not in the first hits when you open up, when you Google search to a Mexican restaurant, you got work to do.
Yeah, and that's really a fairly new change. And a lot of local businesses, small local businesses, have not really seen that coming. And that's a hard thing to deal with. I mean, if you're a big business, you've got teams of digital marketers that
sure.
really work on that problem, not the case for maybe like a sole proprietorship or like a very small mom and pop shop. And so, you know, you really have to insist that technology is making those changes happen. You have to insist on technology helping your business adapt to them as well, which is sort of our philosophy at Womply. And it's definitely something that we see bear out. I mean, you know, whenever I decide I'm going to go find a new restaurant or even like a new service provider, like a plumber or an auto mechanic, first thing I do is open up a smartphone, right? I don't even ask my friends first. That's like a secondary
thing. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
But let me tell you one thing. I've learned from a couple of our listeners, many, in some of the other things we do. I do a couple of building shows and fix-it shows and some other stuff. I've learned that just because somebody's on a list where you can ask somebody or get a quote or something, that these people have not physically inspected that place of business. And some of them are just passing along a recommendation because they've got a member that's paying them a fee for being on their list of good contractors.
Yeah. So that's part of the complexity of understanding, you know, like your digital storefront, for example. So every physical businesses have these, you know, you got your physical storefront, you want it to look great so that people, when they drive by, are attracted to come in. You also have a digital storefront, and there's a lot of aspects to managing that. And it's worth the time, right? And so one aspect is you may be on a list, but then, you know, does the way that you appear on that list really represent the truth about your business? I mean, Yelp is a great example of this because everyone understands this. Like, if you have 5 reviews on Yelp and it's just a handful of people who had a bad experience, that probably doesn't represent the true experience that most customers have at your business. So it behooves you to actually spend some time trying to improve that presence so that it's more reflective of reality. And you think about all the different places. Yeah, I mean, think about all the different places, like, you know, Angie's List, where contractors and plumbers are listed, like Foursquare. There's all these different places, and some are more important than others, but it is important to understand that those are the places where consumers are looking to make decisions before they even show up. We've seen statistics from Google that, you know, most people, far fewer people are actually going into stores to window shop and just kind of browse. They're making buying decisions online before they even show up. So when people do come in, They've already pretty much decided.
They're a deal. Last question, though. I think it's kind of important because, you know, you can show me all the nice food presentations online that you want. You can have a beautiful website, but I can't taste the tamale by licking my screen. I still got to go to somewhere, and I still got to get in there and see, was all of that effort and all of that research worth it? Am I going to come back to this place? Was this tamale that good or not? You know?
Yeah.
You know, so you can drive them in the door, but you can't make them taste something unless it really is good.
That's right. And so we actually have examples of businesses who have actually used some of the digital feedback that they've received, for example, from online reviews or sending like a really simple survey to customers to fix things that were blind spots. I mean, most small businesses, people go to them because they're looking for a unique experience.
Yeah, something cool.
You know, you go to Applebee's or you go to Outback Steakhouse because you want a predictable experience. You go to a local restaurant because you want a unique experience. But you may not realize, you know, the example I mentioned, the biscuits and gravy, they changed one thing in their process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the butter was put out, and it changed something that people loved and people started to complain about it. Without that feedback, they wouldn't have known to change that one thing back. So you're right. You do have to be delivering on consumer expectations. And there are some really simple ways to get better intel on that these days to make sure that, you know, you're not losing out on new customers because people have a perception that's wrong about your business, and making sure that the customers you've already acquired do continue to come back.
What am I going to see when I land on Wamply? What am I going to get?
On our website?
Yep.
Yeah, on our website, you'll see an overview of kind of what we do, the kinds of solutions we provide. So we're a technology company that helps small businesses attract and retain and engage their customers. We do that in a couple of different ways. We explain exactly how we do that. And you also have some interesting free resources as well. We have, for example, our State of Local Restaurants report that shows every single state and how restaurants in those states stack up and the seasonality. So in addition to information about our solutions and our products, you also have good free resources to help you understand more about businesses across the country.
What a fun thing you must be doing there, Brad.
Sorry, say that again?
I said, what a fun thing you must be doing, enlightening people to, you know, helping them do better in their business. As always, I appreciate your time, and thanks for the heads up on. That doesn't mean I'm going to go out and order a whole bunch more steak for my restaurant tonight because I may not be serving it, right?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Well, some restaurants will do very well, and we hope that all the restaurants in Hawaii have a good Valentine's Day.
Hey, thanks a lot, Brad. We'll see you again. There you go. Brad Plothro from Wamply, Wompley. Go check them out, Wompley. Right now, here's Sides O'Braden checking out a little bit of traffic for you.